Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests, and I'm glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope that something in the next hour lights you up and helps you move forward. Now, if you could talk to an angel, and no, I don't mean me, and it's very nice of you to say so, but a real angel, what would you ask? Would you have questions about the afterlife or animal companions, relationship, life purpose, manifestation? Well, Jerry Gavin, who is the author of Messages from Margaret, tackles all of these topics in his new book called If You Could Talk to an Angel. Margaret speaks through Jerry with her trademark humor, offering advice, breaking down even the most difficult subjects in a way that's very approachable, very easy to understand. Are you ready to meet him? Jerry Gavin is a speaker, life coach, medium, and his weekly radio program on Hay House Radio has a loyal international following. Jerry's the creator of the Angels and Shamans Workshop, which puts participants in direct connection with their angels and guides. Jerry is a channel for the angel Margaret, and he also specializes in shamanic healing practices to help individuals reclaim their power, health, and even lost pieces of their soul through soul retrieval. His work's a combination of modern therapeutic techniques and ancient healing practices that listen to the body, mind, and spirit. You can find out more about Jerry and his work at jerrygavin.com. Jerry, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. Oh. I love being on your show, so thank you so very much.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I love having you here. Thank you for coming back. I wonder if we, maybe we should start with where you are and how you got where you are. I know that you're talking to me. You said a little off the air, you're coming to me from your farm. Mm-hmm. Where are you? What is your life like? How did you get to this place?
Wow, that's a long story, but I'm going to try to make it as brief as possible. So the farm that I live on is actually in New Jersey. It's a small horse farm, which quite literally was, when I used to say, joking around about it being a small horse farm, it was really true because most of the horses were ponies because my girlfriend Gail had a pony party business, which she had started. And what kind of brought us to this farm was that she loved horses. She had a horse. We started looking for a place to be able to have that horse right here. So you could wake up in the morning and look out your window and see your horse and see, you know, all kinds of beautiful stuff. So at the time, I was still working in New York City, and it became an amazing commute back and forth between South Jersey and New York City every day. But that was actually a very useful thing because it was during that commute, that bus commute, that I wrote the first book, Messages from Margaret. So if people are ever wondering, you know, like, oh man, where will I ever find the time to write a book? It's just amazing the places that you can find time, you know? And it's funny, even in my first book, I actually, in the acknowledgement section, I thanked the drivers and the company, the bus company, because it always gave me that opportunity to have this really peaceful ride that, you know, gave me the chance to do that. So the first book, I have to say, it really came as a huge surprise. So Margaret asked me to write this book and asked me if I could please get her messages out to the world. And the original self-published book was called Messages from Margaret for the Year 2012 and Beyond. And I wrote it, and it came out in the very beginning of 2012, self-published, with the concept being that she wanted to get the message out to people, as you might recall. Now it seems like such a long time ago, but back in 2011, everybody was talking about that they thought the world was going to end in 2012 because that was the end of the Mayan calendar. And there was all this huge doom and gloom around the year 2012. And Margaret wanted to, first of all, dispel that concept. And the first book talks about the whole illusion of time and how calendars came to be and all of those other things. So I self-published the book, and you know, Karen, in never in a million years did I know how then these messages were supposed to get out to the world. But I wound up just trying to promote it, just get it out there. And I did a local Body Mind Spirit Expo in New Jersey, and directly catty-corner from the booth I was in was a couple by the name of Ariel and Shia Keen, who are relationship experts, and they do a radio program on Blog Talk Radio. And I was so tongue-tied when I met them, because to me, they were like, you know, celebrities, you know, and I was so excited to meet them. And I felt so foolish because, you know, they signed a book over to me, which I really appreciated. And I signed a book over to them thinking like, oh, my God, how pretentious is that? and as it turned out, Ariel, she would read the book every day, basically doing that thing as I often do at books sometimes, too, where you open up to just a random page and see what wisdom the book may have to give you for that given day. And she started to do that with messages from Margaret, and she loved it. And so they asked me if I would be on their radio program, which is called Being Here. And Being Here is all about being in the moment, you know? So I went on the radio show, you know, and I'm really new to this, so I had all these ideas about what I wanted to say and different things I wanted to say about the book and all kinds of stuff. And their show about being in the moment really would kind of go off in whatever the directions were that callers were bringing the show in. And they would come back to me and say, what do you think Margaret would say about this? Or what do you think Margaret would say about that? And I didn't actually get a chance to talk much about the book. And in fact, they accidentally even gave out the wrong address, you know, for people to get more information. But the most amazing thing happened, and this is where miraculous synchronicities take place. So out in London is a woman by the name of Alexandra Grubler, who is the woman who sells international rights for Hay House, who also loves the work of Ariel and Shia, and they befriended years earlier at a workshop in Hamburg. And so she really enjoys the conversation that's taking place. And because the Balboa Press, the place where I had self-published, was a division of Hay House, she got a hold of the book and loved the book and calls who else but the CEO of Hay House, Reed Tracy, and says, Reed, I love this book. Could you please read it? You know, I think we could, you know, spread this book through Europe if you would like to read it. And the next thing, I'm getting a thing on my BlackBerry from Reed Tracy saying, read your book. I really enjoyed it. Hay House would like to take over publishing your book. And honestly, Karen, I thought my email had been hacked and somebody was just playing this. I thought it was this huge joke. So for the longest time, I'm thinking, no, this is just a joke. And then I'm trying to think of who that I knew would know that they had of Hay House. And I had never even spoken much about that with anyone. So that was actually the way Messages from Margaret became a Hay House book. And the time element in which this occurred was so amazing because I originally self-published the book in February of 2012. And it was May of 2012 that I first got the request for Hay House to take it over, which meant that since 2012 was going to be over, we had to kind of make the book more evergreen. And he asked if we could maybe add an additional chapter, if I could go back to Margaret and bring some new content to it. And it came out December of that year. And then what was kind of even a more miraculous piece of it is that as the book is coming out, I was slated to be on a radio show on Hay House that Diane Ray, who's the woman who's in charge of Hay House Radio, is the host of. And I happened to be in a conversation with Reed Tracy that day because the book was about to come out. And I just wanted, I was so new to all this and just so, I still feel like I'm very green about it, but I was even more green at that point. And so I called him to ask some advice and he was gracious enough to take the call. So he asked me about the radio show I was about to do. And I said, well, he asked me what I was going to talk about. And I said, well, I'm going to talk about the new book and talk about what caused me to get contact with Margaret and all of those different things and the history of it and a little bit about what's in the book. And Reed, who has this wonderful Midwestern accent, goes, "Well, what about Margaret?" You know? And I said, "Well, I will talk about her all the time." He goes, "No, when does Margaret get to talk? When does she have a chance to come on and to talk to people?" And I had never done that. I had always channeled Margaret through writing, you know, through doing letters and messages of that nature and writing in the book. So everything I did, even though I was getting stuff from her, I would, like, if I did a reading for someone, I would be typing it and I would talk what I was typing, but I never just let it flow through me without some in-between mechanism that was happening. So his suggestion was, "Well, you're going on the radio show today. Why don't you give that a try? Why don't you just let Margaret come through and just let her talk?" And I was like, "Today? Like an hour from now? Today?" And he was like, "Well, give it a try. What have you got to lose, you know?" So I called Diane Ray and I said, "Reed suggested we do this." And Diane said, "Well, I will do it, Jerry, but the only problem is we're not a call-in program. So people don't usually call in. I'm usually just an informational program. So I don't want you to be disappointed if there aren't callers." And she could not, Karen, have said a better thing to me at that point. I was so relieved. Mm. I go, thank you, God, nobody's going to call in. You know, so I'll get away with it. I can say to Reed, "Well, I tried, but nobody called," you know. And we, much like your program, back then, Hay House used to have a break in the middle, as yours does. And so we're talking all about the book. We're doing all those different things. And Diane is saying, "If there's anyone who wants to call in to talk to the Angel Margaret, you can have this opportunity to do so." And she comes back during the break and says, "Jerry, I don't know how to tell you this, but the lines are full."
Wow.
we definitely have callers. And that was my first experience, just allowing Margaret to come through and talking to callers. And it led within a few months to a radio show on Hay House where I have guests and I'll talk about different topics and, you know, bring messages for Margaret in general. But then in the second half of the program, or sometimes longer, I'll just channel Margaret live to answer questions from people from all over the world who are calling in to ask her advice, which is that really great down-to-earth advice that, you know, people are sometimes so surprised about, that she's got such a, you know, a great way of understanding both the big picture of everything that's going on, but the little things that we might never think of to do in our day-in, day-out lives to make them easier and make everything flow more smoothly. And that show is actually going into its fourth year now. So it's just been such a magical ride, and that magical ride continued with this new book called If You Could Talk to an Angel.
That's wonderful. And it, as I hear you tell that story, I'm hearing all those beautiful synchronicities and hearing you being challenged to sort of push through fear or push maybe through that little bit of reticence. Shall I? Will anyone call? Right? And it's I mean,
push through terror is a little more like it.
So I hear you pushing through terror.
Right.
But there's a way in which I think there are so many of us now who are doing this work in whatever way we do it. And it is, to me, I think we're out here on the radio and we do what we do so that other people realize that they can wake up too. They can push through, that there are synchronicities in their lives. There are signs everywhere that say, wake up, pay attention, listen, right?
Yeah.
If you feel something strongly, speak that, share that, take action. And so I love hearing the story of how this came about. When you connect with Margaret, are you, what's the right way to say it? So in my work, Jerry, when I work with people one-on-one, I think of myself as a psychic channel. I get out of the way a little bit and let mm-hmm. divine light or divine wisdom or divine love speak through me, but I'm still right there cracking
right,
jokes
exactly.
And telling stories and doing my thing. I just got out of the way a little bit. What is it like for you when you are bringing through Margaret?
It's very much the same. It's totally me getting out of the way and letting that energy flow so that she's able to just speak. And, you know, the way she described it to me, and I don't know if it works the same way for you, but what she said is that when you have angels speaking to you or through you, what essentially is happening is it's coming through your heart. It's that energy is just coming purely through your heart and from your heart to your throat. So what winds up happening is that energy is kind of coming through in that direction. And at the same time, my brain is paying attention to it, and I'm hearing it much in the same manner as you're hearing it or anybody else is hearing it, but I'm hearing it for the first time, too. So many times as I'm listening to something she's saying to somebody else, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. I've got to remember that. It's like I want to apply that for my own life, or I want to be able to use this. And she does. It's funny. She also has a wonderful sense of humor, and will joke sometimes in the process of the things that she's saying, you know. And she's just very non-judgmental, very, very gentle, you know, very, very easygoing. And that, I think, is part of what's made it so easy for people to be able to communicate with her, and why it's kind of grown to being something that's so popular. I remember, Karen, when I first wrote the book, I remember at one time reading it and thinking to myself, why am I even doing this? And I remember talking to Margaret and said, Margaret, look, you know, I think this is insane. Like, why am I writing this book? Why am I putting this out there? There are so many really famous, very good people out there who are doing this stuff, who are talking to the Archangel Michael, who are talking to Uriel and Raphael, and who are so well known for the work they're doing, or Neil Donald Walsh is talking right to God, and all these people are doing this stuff. Who is going to care what Jerry Gavin has to say and what an angel named Margaret has to say? No one even knows who Margaret is, you know? And so the thing that came down then was her saying, you know, the important thing to understand is that every person has their own energy, and that own energy is going to call to you people of like energy. So your voice, your energy, your vibration is going to call people to you who are coming from a similar vibration. So those people who are going to listen to, you know, and be drawn to Doreen Virtue or Neil Donald Walsh or Jerry Gavin or Karen Hager are being drawn because we have that vibration that's going out and bringing like-minded, like energetic people to us. And that's why there's so many people talking talking the same messages, if you will, but seeing them in so many different ways, you know, so many different interpretations of the same thing.
That's, you know, beautiful. And if I feel that we are all like little prisms, multifaceted, each one of us with our own unique light, but facets, all facets of the divine. And
right,
as
right.
we wake up, as we live our lives, as we go about our soul paths, as we live and love and learn and cry and make a mess and clean it up again, all of that to me has a certain vibration about it. And mm-hmm. when you are finding a spiritual teacher or a partner or a guide who you resonate with, the chances are good that you're going to be vibrating at about the same level. I feel like there are millions of teachers embodied
absolutely.
Now because we need
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely so, because there are billions of people.
That's
and,
right.
And as you're looking at all of those people who are looking to bring some type of healing energy to the world. And, you know, and it doesn't have to be someone who's a metaphysical teacher. It could be someone who's just a teacher, period, who is helping children as they're coming through the world to understand that they are bright and they are wonderful and they have this incredible potential. You know how there is always, for all of us, I'm sure it was this way for you, Karen, I know it was for me, there's always that one teacher in your life that you look back on and you can see how that person changed your life,
yes.
you know, helped to frame you in a different way. And they may not have been teaching metaphysics, you know, quote-unquote metaphysics, but what they were doing was providing that energetic shift for you to be able to really see yourself in a whole new light, you know? And what's more metaphysical than that? So we're doing so many different ways, and there's so, you know, all of us are doing this in our own special ways.
Well, and it and that teacher, by the way, is Marilyn Heberling. So Marilyn, if you're listening, thank you. I had a teacher like that. She was an acting teacher for me, mm-hmm. ran the little repertory company group that I was in when I was in high school. Amazingly transformative work. And I didn't really realize it because I was a teenager, and you don't realize anything when you're a teenager. And then you get older, you get some perspective, and you go, wow, that shaped mm-hmm. me, that changed me. I believe that any kind of good spiritual teaching, whether that is through a channel, through intuitive perception, it pulls back the veil a little bit. That place right. where we think we're all separate, where we think there's no connection, it pulls back the veil. It shines a light on the ways in which we are connected. I feel like that's how intuitive information comes through, is from that connection we all share.
I agree. And that is an interesting aspect, Karen, because that's kind of how this new book came about, because, you know, I was having a really hard time. This was not actually the book that I was going to write for Hay House originally. We were talking about it, and we'd kind of gotten approval on a book that was based more on this combination of work that I do that's a mix between work with angels and shamanic work. And I just could not get that together. It just wasn't coming. And it was so funny because Margaret asked to please basically take a letter, if you will, and said, would you do me a favor and would you allow me to give you a letter, and would you give this letter to read at Hay House, to read Tracy, as a suggestion of a different direction for the book? And thank God Reed Tracy is as open as he is to such things, because I'm speaking at it and I can do it in Denver. And met with Reed and gave him this letter. And in the letter, Margaret said that she really felt the direction that this new book should go was in helping all of these people in the world who all have their own individual voice and their individual questions and individual things that they're struggling with in life to ask that. So her suggestion was to pen a book called If You Could Talk to an Angel, and that book would be, we would reach out to the Hay House Radio audience and other people through social media and ask people all over the world, if you had the chance to sit down in your living room or bedroom or kitchen, wherever it might be, and talk to an angel, what would you ask them? What would be the most burning question that you might ask? And Reed took it a step further and said, I love the idea. I love the title. I think it's wonderful. I'm 100% on board with Margaret. I would like to just take it a step further, and I would like to put it out there to other Hay House authors and other people who, you know, who might want to do that as well, because it might be fascinating to find out what other Hay House authors would want to do if they had that chance to sit down and talk with an angel. And so we did that. We sent out a letter to other Hay House authors, and I really didn't know how it was going to go over, if people would respond to that. But it wound up having people like Mike Dooley and Chris Carr and Cam Grout, Nick Ortner, Sonia Chiquette, Ariel Ford, John Holland, and Denise Salin and Sandra Ann Taylor, all these amazing people who never in a million years would I have ever thought a couple of years before would become involved in this, who would be excitedly there to ask questions as well of Margaret, you know?
Well,
but they were looking to be able to do that. And so it turned out to be a really, really very, very interesting situation too, because what wound up happening is what I thought was going to occur was that the Hay House authors were going to be doing, you know, the big world things, you know, like the big life questions, you know, and that the people all over the world, I thought, were going to be asking more personal questions. And what turned out happening is that people all over the world were asking the big life questions, and the Hay House authors wound up asking these deeply personal questions, which was really beautiful, because it gave some really amazing personal insight into people that we know really well by the esoteric things that that they teach about.
Well, and Jerry, as we're going into the break here,
sure.
And I know that break is coming. That book is a beautifully, I think, focused, beautifully framed kind of question and answer session with detailed answers from Margaret. And you've been kind enough to say that in the second half of the show, that you are happy to open up for Margaret to speak through you and allow me to ask her some questions. Is that okay that we do that?
I would love to be able to do that, sure.
Okay. So when we come back after this short break, we'll be with Jerry Gavin. His new book is If You Could Talk to an Angel, and you can get more information about Jerry and his work with the Angel Margaret at jerrygavin.com. And when we come back, the Angel Margaret will be with us, and I have some questions, and I look forward to connecting with her in that way. We'll be right back after this.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Okay, kids, the car's backed up and the campfire is out. Let's hit the road.
Dad, the fire's not out. You can see it's still smoking.
Close enough.
Close enough? If it's too hot to touch, then it's too hot to leave. You could burn down this forest. Not to mention our whole neighborhood.
Come on, Dad, do your homework. 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans.
Did I say we were leaving? I was kidding.
Sure you were, Dad.
Are you gonna tell your mom about this?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
You're never too young to get your smoky on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
A public service message brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and I'm in conversation with Jerry Gavin. His new book is If You Could Talk to an Angel, and you can find out more about Jerry and his work at jerrygavin.com. That's GerryGavin.com. And of course, I welcome your comments and your questions. What is this bringing up for you? If you could talk to an angel, I'm about to. If you could talk to an angel, what would you ask? You can always reach me through my website, KarenHager.com. Now, Jerry works in collaboration with the Angel Margaret, who he brings through as a channel. And Margaret, welcome to the show. I'm feeling a little nervous now because I actually am talking to an angel. So do people get a little weird about this? Because I'm feeling a little weird.
First of all, hello, dear one, and welcome. Karen, it is my pleasure to have this opportunity to talk to you. And yeah, I guess that is the case at times, that there is this sense of it being an unusual occurrence to be able to speak to an angel. But honestly, Karen, it's not the speaking to an angel part that's unusual. It's the hearing the angels speak back that is the unusual part, because almost everyone, to some extent, at some point in time, has called out to the Creator or called out to their angels. And, I know Jerry, when he was originally putting together research, when he was talking about the first book with people, found that there were actually polls that were done that talked about, 80% of the people that they spoke to believed in our existence, and more than half said that they felt their lives had been personally touched by angels. And you hear us talk to you all the time. We are that little voice that manages to have you turn down a street you weren't thinking you were going to turn down when you're driving, when there's a gas station and your gauge is just about on empty, or that voice that is trying to urge you to be kinder to yourself at those times when you just are being so hard on yourself. So in so many ways, dear one, it is not unusual at all to hear us. It's just sometimes unusual to focus on things that you hear. And I think the other part of that is the element of trust. Because for most people, when you were little, when you were much younger, in most cases before you were the age of 7, you did believe and you did understand that there were other things out there, that there were other things you perceived, that there were other things that you saw. Maybe some of you may have referred to these things as imaginary friends, or maybe you may even have seen angels or heard the voices of angels speaking to you. But at the point where you hit the age of reason, quote-unquote, what winds up happening is that age of reason is honestly, Karen, not the point of attaining reason. It is the point that other people, that adults, have talked you out of your imagination, or taught you that which you think of in your imagination, you feel within your imagination, is make-believe and not real, if you look at the word imagination, you can look at it as two different ways. You can look at it in the way many people think of it, which is that which is make-believe and not real. Or you could think of it in ways as to say that this is something that is the nation of images. It is that part of you that is looking in such a way as to reach upon the depths of all those things that have not yet been created, so that you are able to create new things from that part of you that is information coming from your soul, coming from the essence of your being. So does that answer your question? I feel like I kind of went all over the world.
No, it does, and what it brings up for me is just that idea. I think so many times, I think we do close down. And our beautiful, we close down our intuition, we close down our perception and our deeper knowing, but it isn't gone. We just kind of covered over the door. We boarded it up. And I think for a lot of us, we come to a time in our life when we feel this strong desire to open up, to re-experience our gifts, to learn more, but we're afraid. And I wonder what it is that we are afraid of experience, what causes that hesitancy to open up. Jerry mentioned that, talking about just his terror or hesitancy to come through with this work. What are we afraid of?
Well, in general, the concept that you are speaking to to something that other people are not capable of speaking to. What Jerry was very much afraid of was his own security, his own ability to continue working. He was the publisher of a newspaper group in New York, and his concern was, if it gets out that I talk to angels, are the people who see me as being this rational, practical businessman going to look at the situation and say, you talk to angels? Or what would happen in this given situation? So that's part of the reason why, Karen, that he channeled me for almost 20 years, but only within what would be considered safe circles, among those people who did also believe that people had that ability to communicate with angels and to understand, you know, information that might be coming from them. So the risk, the fear, as it is with so many different things in life, is what people are going to think of it. Because you as a human being desire very much to be loved and appreciated and cherished. The last thing you want to do is to be ridiculed. You know, you don't want to be made fun of. You don't want to have someone tell you that there is something wrong with you because you are embracing something that feels so right with you. And that's why so many people, even if they do get this information, are very quiet about saying something about it, and why so many people were willing to do so when it was an anonymous poll. You know, it's one thing to say to your best friend, hey, I had this angelic experience one time, and worry about how your best friend might react, if they might think there's something wrong with you. Or someone from the Gallup organization says, have you ever had an encounter with an angel? You know, that makes it more comfortable for you to be able to say it. But I'm hopeful, Karen, that as time goes on, more and more people are going to be doing this. It's interesting because in the new book, Karen, John Holland, who is one of the best known spiritual mediums in terms of his ability to communicate with people who have crossed over to the other side, asked a wonderful question, because he said that throughout most of his life and his work, people would call on him to speak to those who had crossed over in able to communicate with them and find out if they are okay and what was going on. But that he noticed over the last couple of years, there were more people coming to him trying to find out how they would be able to communicate. And it is becoming, as I answered it in the book, it is becoming more of a DIY generation now, a do-it-yourself movement for people to be able to communicate with their angels and their guides and their ancestors, so that they can feel it more personally and more deeply and with a deeper sense of reality and knowing.
I'm aware of what I perceive as a shift, speeding up, a greater urgency to tell the truth, to shine the light, to make a connection in the way that you're speaking into, the DIY thing. Let me make the connection. Let me have the experience. Margaret, why do you perceive it that way too? And what is it about this time, this stage of our evolution, that is bringing us forward in that way?
It is much in the same as it is with all different other things that even are non-spiritual. Mankind has reached a level where things became so separated and so specialized that you find that there are individuals who are all doing different aspects of things, and mankind in general is not having this sense of connection with being able to find the opportunity to learn these things for themselves. If you go back as more of mankind being more of a tribal type of people and a tribal kind of concern, you find that you have you have people who did many things, had many different skills, had many different capabilities. And as time has gone on, people became very specialized in particular areas, you know. So especially within the world of commerce, one might get up in the morning and go to do your job, and your job may be that you are a wonderful financial analyst, for example, or a farmer or a doctor or whatever that might be. And that may help you within that particular area to find that degree of specialization, but you're missing something within yourself that allows you to feel a deeper sense of connection with your soul. So you might find a sense of connection with that thing that is helping you to exist in this world, but not realizing where that fits in with your actual soul energy. With so many times when people come to us for individual readings, for private readings, what will happen is they will come wanting to know, what is my path and purpose? And there are two things, Karen, that are your primary path and purpose as a soul. And that is that you come here to expand your energy. You come here with a certain degree of energy, which is your soul energy, that individual consciousness that comes here from your higher self and is invested into this being known as Jerry or known as Karen. And then as you go along and you grow both physically and through experiences in your life, that energy grows so that when you eventually return to your higher self, you go back with more energy than you started with. And that always allows your higher self then to invest more energy into other incarnations and other things that help to more understand this experience, this process of growth that you take on by being a human. And in that sense, you wish to understand as much as you can. You want to try to remember as much as you can what your soul intended to do when you were coming here. Because otherwise, that's when people will say that their life has somewhat lost meaning. They're going through the motions of living, but they're not entirely understanding what it is they're living for, you know? And I think people have that inkling. Everyone has that little inkling in the background that says, there's more than this. There's something more I was supposed to do. And the other aspect of beyond expanding the energy of your soul is that you come here to experience as much possible joy as you can possibly experience, mm-hmm. which means in any given situation, regardless of the type of situation you are in, your desire is to experience as much joy as you can within that given situation, which sometimes is very hard because you might have a very difficult situation that you're going through. But there is always, it is part of the soul's direction to you as a human being to try to find something, some kernel of joy within that. Now, some people might refer that as finding the silver lining and the cloud. Napoleon Hill, who was a great teacher of abundance, talked about it as being the ability to find the seed of equivalent benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, that thing that would allow you to find some good in that thing that is not a good situation or a good experience. So that is what you are always looking for. And you'll see that happen sometimes, Karen. I know in Jerry's family, for example, when someone passes away, while there is a significant amount of sadness that might take place, there also is a tremendous amount of joking around that takes place at the wake, and a lot of funny stories that are told about the people who have passed on. Because it's part of their way both of coping with the sadness, but also recognizing the joy, you know, celebrating the life rather than the death, you know, having the opportunity to see something of joy in every experience that you are going through. And that's the type of thing that if you are able to look for that in the midst of whatever situation you're going through, you can try to see what other parts of your life during that period of time are bringing you joy and focus instead on that joy. Because of the way like energy attracts, what you are focusing on is that which will come to you more so. And that's part of why I think the human experience can be so hard, because so often humans will focus on the hardship, and that becomes the basis then of what you attract more to at that given point in time.
Mm. And I know that there's a lot of frustration where we may feel we are doing all the right things to mm-hmm. attract, and yet we have not attracted what we desire. There's frustration there.
That, Karen, is a different thing. And boy, I'm so happy you asked that question. the biggest issue that comes up in that is that you are energetic beings. First and foremost, you are energetic beings. And energy manifests itself in cellular structure. So you're a human being, which means that that human being, that physical body, is a cellular structure that is packed so tight in your cellular structure that there's actually density to it. You can actually see your body. You have actually comprised those cells together to form physical organs and physical functions and all things of that nature. But that body would not exist if it were not for life that was breathed into it. First, the life of your mother as she helped to form you, and then as you were born, you breathe into you your distinct soul energy when you take that first breath. That soul energy, that essence of who you are, is what so often is what creates your energetic vibration. And when you're very little, you are vibrating perfectly at that level. But what starts to happen over time is because, again, humans desire to be loved and cherished and wanted. Most human beings will give away a lot of their soul energy to take on the soul energy of other people. In other words, you want to be what those other people would like you to be so they would love you, because it is a world of very conditional love. And as you do that, you quite literally give away soul energy. You give away a part of your essence. That soul energy just sort of drifts and goes into space and time. And Jerry, for example, does a tremendous amount of work in the area of soul retrieval, which is about going to get that energy and bring it back for people so that they can be re-empowered within their own energy. But your own energy then over time becomes replaced by the energy you have taken on, that's other people's energy, by the energy of traumas that you have experienced. And that's why, Karen, as much as someone might try to change the patterns in their behavior, and they do so as consciously as they might be able to do, as long as your energetic system is actually fed with other energy, you're going to keep reattracting that energy to you. And it does become so frustrating. And we feel so for you in that frustration, because that's one of the things that is not understood. When you're a human being, you see yourself so much as being a human being, it's hard to see yourself as this great ball of energy mm-hmm. that is a mixture of your energy and other energy as you are living this experience and taking on other things. And it's just a part of what happens in this process. Now, the more you understand that, and the more aware one becomes, and hopefully over time, more and more people will become aware of this and will be doing things to retrieve their soul energy and to understand it better, even to protect their soul energy as life goes along, and helping their children to learn how to do that and doing other aspects of it. And that's part of the goal of why I've asked Jerry to bring these messages to the world. It's part of the purpose behind attempting to bring the knowledge to everyone, to stop blaming yourselves and feeling like, what's wrong with me? That comes up so often. Like, what's wrong with me? I try to do these things. I work so hard. I work on enlightenment. I work on being able to understand myself. I work on all these different things. And yet I feel like not only is my life not getting better, in some ways it's getting worse, you know? And it's simply because when you're doing that, you're telling your brain, I don't want to let in any more of this negative energy that I've already taken on. And then you kind of are causing an additional quandary, because then you're not replacing the cellular structure of that which is already a major part of your cellular structure. And that's when people start feeling really tired and worn out and sometimes going into immune deficiencies. It's very complicated, but Jerry has a wonderful thing that you can get from his, if it's not on the website, someone could email him at jerry@jerrygavin.com, and he has this wonderful paper that explains about soul loss, and we talk about it in the new book as well.
Mm. And I know I'm seeing that we only have just a couple of minutes left, Margaret, and I would love to just open it up and give you a chance to share whatever it is that you feel we most need to hear, that we most need to know now.
And this sort of is a perfect continuation from what we were just saying, Karen, about being beings of energy. And it is about power. So when you are a being of energy, the thing that you're always seeking is power. And you're seeking to expand your soul, which means you are seeking to expand your personal power, to expand your personal energy. And that very often gets misunderstood as to power in a in a way in which that power is not about your personal power, but how one might inflict their power on other people. And rather than growing one's power, sometimes they try to take power from someone else. And that is part of the situation that is going on in the world at this point, is that there are many people in this world who feel very, very powerless. And in order to feel a sense of more power, they'll try to take that power from someone else in order to be able to have that happen. And that never works in that particular way, shape, or form. So the thing that I would just ask everyone to please to pray for and to think about and to understand is that one of the most important things that you can do if you are looking to bring about personal peace in your relationships, world peace, whatever peace you might want to bring, is to try to develop the mindset of not taking things personally. Because if you do not take things personally, you don't give up your power then. Mm. If you see things that are happening in your life as the other person's expression or reaction or whatever, then you're not taking it personally. You're not taking it as an affront upon your power, of your understanding, of your being. And it allows you to have that little bit of detachment and love and compassion then to be able to try to figure it out from the other person's point of view and to understand a little bit more about what's occurring. So that biggest advice that I can share with everyone, as much as you possibly can, try not to take things personally. But rather, when something is happening to you, try to open up your heart, open up your love, open up your compassion, and realize that most of the things that will happen to you in your life, I would even say a good 98% of those things that are directed at you, that you feel are directed at you, have nothing to do with you. They have so much to do with how the other person is feeling and what they are going through and their reaction to loss of power that they're feeling, and they're trying to take it back from somewhere else, you know? There's always this play in that sense.
Mm. Margaret, thank you so much for being present, for working through Jerry, for answering questions with so much lightness and love and kindness and humor. Thank you so much. And Jerry, thank you also for being here, for speaking with us, for sharing the book and your work with the world. Thank you to both of you. Thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. Do you mind if I bring Jerry back for a moment to say goodbye to you?
Of course.
Okay. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jerry. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's wonderful. That's wonderful to connect with that energy. And I'm very grateful to both of you for being on the show today. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Karen. And I just wanted to tell people, if they are interested in the book, just please go to jerrygavin.com/book. And there's information there. And there's also a wonderful reading special that we're doing right now. It's a 65% off reading special.
Wow.
Try to get, just to give people the opportunity to have this chance to talk to an angel.
Oh,
and we're trying to open that up to as many people as possible. So if they go to the website and they see a tab on there that says 53 offer, to please take advantage of that. And we would love to have an opportunity to speak with them. And for Margaret would love that chance to spread her message and be able to help all, more people to just feel that sense of peace and well-being and guidance.
Jerry, thank you so much for being on the show. What a great pleasure that is, Jerry Gavin. His new book is If You Could Talk to an Angel. He's a channel for the angel Margaret. You can get more information about Jerry and his work at jerrygavin.com. That's jerrygavin.com. If you go to jerrygavin.com/book, you can get information about the book and then also find information about that reading offer that he just mentioned. And of course, bring me your feedback, your questions, your comments, everything. Just send it to me, Karen at KarenHager.com, or check out my website for upcoming classes and events. If you're interested in the monthly gathering, the Collective Intention Setting for Peace and Opening to Love, you can find that information at OpenPeacefulHeart.com. Thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.